Good morning. Hey, it's been fun watching the Winter Olympics. I mean, curling is just so exciting. I still don't get it. But, you know, I'm reminded every time we have an Olympics of the incredible commitment it takes of those athletes to prepare. I mean, it's not just preparing for 4 years. Many of them are preparing their entire life. It takes incredible discipline, commitment. I mean, you got to be all in if you're going to compete at the Olympic level. And when you think about it, when they earn a gold medal, if they earn a gold medal, man, it costs them far more than that medal's worth in terms of the value of the medal. I know that some of these folks regularly get up at 3 and 4 o'clock every morning to train, and then they go to school or work, and then they're training after that, and this is 7 days a week. It takes incredible commitment, and the Olympics just always remind me that it takes that to get the very best, that to be able to be awarded that incredible honor, it takes absolute commitment. And frankly, the really good things, the best things in life require commitment at some level. And you think about great marriages. Great marriages take commitment. Now, when I say great, I'm not talking about perfect marriages, just so we're reminded there are no perfect marriages. They don't exist. But great marriages take a lot of hard work over years of time. In fact, you never can really stop giving the commitment it takes. And you think of a great career, takes a lot of hard work, long hours, sometimes risks. The ability to play an instrument or to perform well in athletics, that takes commitment. And then I think about Billy Graham. Passed away this week at age 99. A man who lived a life of commitment. And this is off script, and lived a life of integrity. I don't know that we live in an age, unfortunately, when politicians and entertainers and athletes and coaches and just lack integrity. But Billy Graham, his entire life, a man of integrity. And there was a commitment to living that kind of life. And I am absolutely sure today, as Billy Graham is celebrating eternity with his wife, Ruth, and probably millions of others that he's influenced, that he has no regret for the time, the effort, the commitment that he made. What a reward he's received. And all of this is just true of our life and our faith as well. The life of faith is I believe, a high and beautiful calling, but it takes commitment. It takes effort. We got to be all in. Just like a great marriage, just like a great career, just like great relationships, just like learning a skill or having an ability, it takes hard work, and you can't avoid that. But what's interesting is that we end up, in the end, not just focusing on the hard work. We actually get to celebrate and enjoy the results of all of that hard work, the benefits and the results of commitment in any sphere in life, and especially in faith, results in things that are so good now and forever. The very best that we experience in life now and forever comes through commitment. Recently, I was reading through the Gospel of Luke. For those of you who aren't familiar with our Bible, Luke is the third of four books we call Gospels. They record the life and the history and the teaching of Jesus. And as I was going through Luke, I noticed that in particular, Luke seems to emphasize Jesus' teaching and Jesus' examples about commitment, about truly being all in with him. And that Jesus is saying, this is an emphasis that I'm presenting, that to get the best out of what it means to follow me, you got to be all in, completely sold out. And I shared one of those stories last week. We're doing this series called All In, and I noticed that theme as I was preparing for this series. And so last week we looked at a story from Luke, and I want to do the same today. And what we're going to see today from Luke is a story that Jesus told. Jesus often told stories. We sometimes call them parables. They were stories that had a spiritual point to them. And we're going to look at a story today that I think is one of his more unusual stories. This is not one of those feel-good stories. Actually, at the end of the story, Jesus shocks us. And he intends to shock us, because what Jesus is doing is he wants to shock us out of any sense of spiritual complacency. He wants us to be all in. Now, this story is not a downer in the sense that it's just bad news, but what Jesus does is he brings us truth. And with that truth comes incredible hope and freedom. And so we find the story in Luke chapter 14. So take your Bibles and or your device and turn to Luke chapter 14, page 713 in the Bibles in the seats in front of you. Those of you with us live online, we've got that digital link. And while you're turning to Luke chapter 14, let me give you the background of this. We're going to actually start in verse 15, but I'm going to give you the background. Jesus is invited to the home of a prominent Pharisee. Okay, now Pharisees were a group of religious leaders, Jewish religious leaders in that day. And by and large, these Pharisees didn't like Jesus because he wasn't one of them, really. He wasn't playing by their rules, so to speak. And so they invite him to the home of a prominent leader of their group, and they do it to trap him. And one of the ways that we figure out that they're doing this to trap him is that the Pharisees had a rule, and that one of their rules was that you couldn't heal somebody on the Sabbath. So they work it out so that when Jesus comes to this house, they have there a man who is experiencing severe swelling, and it's on the Sabbath. What's Jesus going to do with this? They're setting him up. And so, you know, Jesus knows what they're doing, and he just basically challenges their values and challenges their rules. Basically says, really, God intends us not to do good when we have the opportunity to do good? And then, while he's here and the dinner is getting ready to be prepared and set, he notices that the guests, which are all these other religious leaders, they're jockeying for the best seat, for the place of honor. I pictured in my mind, you know, people, no, that's my seat, you know, and they're trying to get, you know, the best seat. Jesus sees this going on, and so he takes the opportunity to teach him about what humility really is, but he doesn't stop there. He goes one step farther. He goes, you know, instead of just inviting your friends, important people, what if you were to invite the poor and the disadvantaged to your meals? Jesus isn't exactly playing nice because they weren't exactly playing nice. He speaks the truth in love. And by the way, that's what we'll always experience with Jesus. He'll speak the truth in love. And so let's pick up the story from there. Luke chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 15. Luke chapter 14, starting at verse 15. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and had invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell them that those who had already been invited, 'Come, everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'Hey, I bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Very polite. Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married. I can't come.' Now, we haven't finished the story yet, but I actually struggle with this story, and I say that because I want all of us to know it's okay to struggle when Jesus tells a story like this. He actually wants us to struggle with this. And here's why I struggle with this, is that what we're going to see is that Jesus actually rejects what I think and feel like these are legitimate excuses. These are the kinds of excuses I would use. I mean, they seem very legitimate, right? One guy buys a field. Now, okay, this is 2,000 years ago, so let's bring it into to our day today. It says if Jesus were saying this today, like somebody might say, hey, I just closed on a house, and I've already lined up the moving truck and all the people to help me move, and I don't want to pay more rent than where I'm at right now. So you know, thanks for the invite, but I just can't make it. Seems legitimate. Another guy, Jesus said, bought 5 yoke of oxen. Well, we don't buy 5 yoke of oxen today, but in our day, it might be, I just bought a new car. And I've already arranged a road trip. I have all my reservations set, and I got vacation. So thanks for the invite, but I just can't make it. And the third person got married. You know, in our day, not only did they get married, but they're ready to leave on their honeymoon. They've already got everything planned for Hawaii. Thanks for the invite, but I just can't make it. And again, to me, all of these excuses sound very, very reasonable, legitimate, but Jesus doesn't give them a pass. Now, here's part of the reason why. We have to put ourselves back into the story as it was told 2,000 years ago. Okay, so remember, try to put yourself how life was 2,000 years ago. There was no regular mail service. There were no telephones. There was no internet. So in those days, when somebody was going to throw a huge banquet, a huge party, what they would do is they would invite their guests, usually days, but maybe sometimes even months in advance. And the reason that they would give the invitation as far in advance as they could is because it took them a while to prepare for a banquet. They didn't have Costco's back then. They didn't have grocery stores. Everything was made from scratch. If you're going to serve meat, you've got to go find the animal. You've got to kill it, butcher it. You've got to prepare it. You've got to make sure you've got the wine. You can't go to the store to get that. All of this took time, way more time. And having lived in cultures where everything was very primitive, it's amazing how much longer it takes to prepare all that. So what they would do back then is they would invite their guests, get a yes or no. It was okay to say no. But if you said yes, then they knew how many people to prepare for. And then, after all the preparations are made, just like in the story that Jesus told, he would send out their servants and then say, now, this exactly as he said, everything's ready, come. See, these people that gave the excuses had already said yes. They had already committed to this. Now, I know in that culture, marriages were arranged usually years in advance. This person who got married knew what was going on. And really what Jesus is saying is they had no reason to say no. They'd already said yes. And if they couldn't have made it when they said yes, they should have said no. So I'm saying that their excuses were way too late. Now, when Jesus tells these stories, parables, he usually tells those stories that are about us. They're not about some guest. He often includes in those stories himself. And that's exactly what we see in this story. Jesus began this story by saying, a certain man, well, that certain man is Jesus. He's preparing a banquet. And in this story, the banquet isn't just a dinner party. It's a picture of our life with God. See, he's describing faith. Faith is like this great party, this banquet with food and drink. It's a party with our best friends. Now, and for eternity. Faith is joining with this host, Jesus, who's the most generous, kind, amazing, fun person we could ever want to be around. And he throws a banquet. He's inviting us to come and sit at the table with God himself in a joyful relationship. Jesus is at the head of the table, and we get to come and join in on this incredible party, and he's inviting all of us to his kingdom party. It starts in this life, right now, on earth, And it goes all the way into eternity in heaven. And it just keeps getting better and better. But what Jesus is pointing out in the story is that too many of us are tempted with excuses. We have reasons why we don't want to commit. We're deceived and distracted to think that our stuff, our life, is more important than going to the party, going to the banquet. We're more focused on our kingdom than on the kingdom of God. And so how does Jesus respond to those who made the excuses, who wouldn't commit, who wouldn't be all in? We'll pick up the story in verse 21, excuse me. Luke 14, verse 21. The servant came back and reported to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servants, "Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there's still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." Jesus wants folks to be at his party table. And if folks make excuses, if we make excuses, he's going to keep inviting people to join. And he's especially going to invite the people that don't normally get invited to the banquets. I love that about Jesus. The people of Israel got the invite first. But they said no. They made excuses. They said no to the invitation of Jesus. But there's always more room at God's table. The Jewish leaders in particular said no to the invitation of Jesus. So Jesus says, look, I'm going to invite those that aren't a part of the Jewish tradition. I'm going to invite people that hadn't already known about God through the faith of the Jewish people. I'm going to invite people who never even dreamed that they could actually be God's children. And so Jesus expands that invitation to people like you and me. It's incredible. Jesus invites us. So say yes to Jesus' invitation. Jesus has invited you. Not just somebody else in this room. He's invited you. Say yes. Don't miss the invitation to faith. Don't miss the invitation to the joy and the celebration that's a part of this party that he's throwing right now. And the only way to be a part of the Kingdom of God party is to say yes. All right, so what does it look like to say yes? What does that really mean? Well, being religious and being interested in spiritual things is not enough. Hear me on this. Knowing God and knowing something about the Bible is not enough. Saying yes at one time, but then not really showing up, that doesn't count. Jesus is inviting us to be all in. Not just with our words, but with our very lives. God doesn't want us just to browse the aisles of faith and just look at what's on the shelves. He wants us to go in to the store of faith and actually put our money on the counter and actually buy what's there to really be invested. He wants us to be all in. Jesus invites us to sit at the table of God and actually engage with God. So say yes to the invitation of Jesus. What Jesus is saying is that following him is an all-in deal, nothing less. All right, so let's move to application. How do we actually do that? How do we say yes to Jesus' invitation? What I want to do is we apply this. And then, by the way, we always have to apply God's word. Jesus says this, the apostles teach this in our Bible, that we can't just listen to Jesus' stories. We can't just listen to his teaching and then not do anything about it. We've got to act on it. So let me suggest some ways that we can act. And I first want to speak to those of us who are here who've made a decision to follow Jesus. And if you haven't made a decision to follow Jesus, I want you to listen in. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to speak to you in just a moment. But right now I'm speaking to those of us who have made a decision to follow Jesus. What does it mean to say yes to Jesus? What does that mean in practical ways? How do we live that out? How do we experience that? How do we be a part of a church that values being all in commitment? And how do we live that out in that way? And so I want to introduce to you a couple. Come on up here, guys. This is Joe and Marcy Natale. Welcome them. Come on, come right up here. Yeah. And I've asked them to come because they're actually an incredible example of what it means to say yes to the invitation of Jesus. They figured out how to say yes to Jesus, and then how to say yes to our church so that they were actually all in. And so thanks for being willing to share this. I know that public speaking isn't your favorite thing to do, but thanks for doing this. So first of all, when and how did you become a part of Pantano?
It was a couple years ago, and we had been church hopping for a while, and we had kind of gotten stuck, and nothing was fitting right. And I happened to be driving down Houghton one day, and I saw Pantano, and I'd seen the sign before, and I'd had friends that had come here over the years, and I was not a fan of larger churches. And so I went home, and I said to my husband, like, before I knew it, the words came out of my mouth, hey, what about Pantano Christian? And he said, okay, there's a service tomorrow night, because he's really good on the internet. And that was when we had services on Saturday, and so we were here Saturday.
Wow. And so one of the reason I wanted you to come and share with us is because I observed that, man, you guys came, you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to being all in, and you jumped right in. I mean, like, right away. And that's not common, to be honest, okay? But tell us about what did that look like? I mean, in very practical ways, what did that look like for you guys to be all in?
Well, like Marcy said, we were kind of church hopping, and I had all about kind of given up. I got to the point where I kind of said, you know, either we're going to do this or we're not. And, you know, several things that happened, I think, along the way in our lives. You know, we had some issues within our family with drug and alcohol addiction, you know, and we just needed to be connected. You know, we didn't have that. We had tried different churches, and there's a lot of amazing churches out there. There's a lot of amazing folks in the churches. It wasn't them. I think it was us. I think we just weren't making that effort. And I think once we decided to kind of put in the effort, I think God brought us here and put us in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. So how did you get all in? What did you do to actually get jumping into this?
Well, there was, you know, Discover Pantano. And, you know, it kind of allowed us kind of to kind of dip our toes in, you know, before we made this full commitment. We kind of got an opportunity to learn about the church, learn about the philosophy, the history. And for us, it was just a, you know, a really good connection.
Yeah. And then you made a decision.
I literally jumped in upstairs in the water. I got baptized.
Yeah. 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 And we're going to have that opportunity today, too. They literally just jumped in. And then it didn't take you very long that you decided to start a group. And talk us about your group, about learning the group called Learning to Cope.
Yeah, so our group is called Learning to Cope, dealing with a loved one's addiction. And, you know, me and Marcy both come from families who've dealt with drug and alcohol addiction. So we know very well the trauma, the toll it takes on you. Yeah. Financially, emotionally, most importantly, spiritually. And I think a lot of people, when these things happen, you either run to God or you run away from God. And quite honestly, I was one of those people who ran away from God because I was so angry. I was so bitter at what had transpired in our lives and the effect it was taking on us. You know, and so we would sit there and go, how do we take some of this and make some good out of it? You know, there wasn't any groups. We wanted a group where people could come and share their stories, feel safe from judgment and ridicule. There's probably groups out there like that. We just weren't finding them. And so I think God laid it on our hearts long ago to try to put this into action. And so we founded this group, and we meet a couple times a month. You know, we would love to chat with you. I think we're going to be down over here after service. And, you know, if you or anyone you know could benefit from our group, we'd love to meet you. You can find us online on groups. If you go to Pantano's site, look under groups, Learning to Cope. And if not, you can just call the church office and you can ask how to contact us there.
Yeah, thanks. So, what has God done in your life since you made the decision to be all in? How is that? You know, what are the things that you see happening in your lives because of that?
Well, I think for me, it's been the friendships and the relationships that we've gotten here, and I didn't have a lot of female role models in my life. I don't have aunts. I don't have sisters, and I've met the most amazing women that I've become so close to. They're mentors. They're models. Wow. I would not have had that, and I think that's God taking care of me in a way that I didn't realize.
That's great. So, thank you. Cool. You want anything, Joe?
Yeah, and I think for me, I just turned 50 a few months back, and my faith had been stagnated for a long time because I was somebody who kind of, like a lot of folks, I'd show up, I'd leave. I was like, how quick can we get to breakfast? And my wife was usually kind of nudging me to wake up, and I leave. And that was all on me, is that I realized I kind of was stagnated. And once we kind of made this decision to be all in, I really think I would have missed out on a lot of relationships as well. I would have missed out on the opportunity to have my life impacted and hopefully impact somebody else's. And finally, I feel connected in a way I never did before.
Wow, that's cool. Guys, thank you for jumping in and being all in and sharing your story. Love you guys. Thank you. Thank you. That's right. They're going to be here available after services is over if you want to talk to them. I just love how they jumped in. They're engaging and they're making a difference. And that there's just an incredible aspect to life that we miss when we're not all in. And so if you have made a commitment to follow Jesus, and you've been here at Pantano long enough to know that this church is healthy, it's safe, it's genuine, what I want to challenge you to do is do exactly what Joe and Marcy did, is I want to encourage you to jump in and be all in. Here at Pantano, I challenge you, I encourage you every year to make that commitment to be all in. And we do that every year. You know, some of you made the commitment to be all in last year. That was so last year. This is a new year. And I ask you to make that commitment to be all in every year because I think we just need to make those commitments fresh and new so that they're alive and they're not just something that happened a long time ago. And so in the seats in front of you is this card. It's called All In. Some of you, over 600 of us have already made the commitment to be all in. I want to encourage you, if you've not, to make the commitment to be all in. The card explains exactly what this is. Being all in means that we're going to join with others here, truly allowing God to use our lives in some way, in the unique ways in which God will use us to make a difference. It might be through serving here on our campus. It might be something in our community. It might be a way God uses us in our neighborhood or work. It doesn't matter where that is. God's going to guide you, but you've got to be willing to be all in. And so you own our vision. You're willing to join us in our mission. You're willing to get connected with people and to be involved in serving and give of your life. That's what it means to be all in. None of us do it perfectly. It's not about that. It's about a genuine commitment to engage really with our lives. And so please fill this out. You can put this in the offering buckets later in our service. You can also, if you've got your device, you can do this online digitally. We've got the all-in place online. And for those of you who are with us online, you can also make the commitment to be all in digitally that way. When we're all in, we join with others who are all in, and we're going to make a difference. We're going to bring the influence of Jesus into our community. We're going to bring the love of Jesus to people who so desperately need it. We're going to say yes to what Jesus is doing through our church in some powerful ways. Say yes to the invitation of Jesus. Don't just sit and watch. Too many of us are tempted to do that. Don't make excuses. Make a difference. We need an army of people who are all in to make a difference. And so fill that card out and put it in the offering bucket or sign it online. Now, let me speak to those of us here who have not yet made a commitment to follow Jesus. Please understand this. I am so glad you are here. I really am glad you're here. I believe that God has been working in your life to even have you here at this time. And I don't want you to miss this. I want you to know this as deeply as you possibly can know. Jesus is inviting you to have a relationship with God. He's inviting you personally to experience all the goodness of God, to come to the table of God, and not for food, but for the relationship that you can have with God for eternity. He's inviting you in every way possible. He's inviting you to leave your old way of life, whatever that was included, whatever that involved. He's inviting you to a new way of life, the way of Jesus, following Jesus. And he's inviting you, regardless of whatever you've done in the past or not done in the past. He doesn't care about the past. He's giving you the invitation right now. He won't make you say yes. He won't force you. It's your choice. You can choose to say yes to the invitation, or you can choose to say no. But when we say no, just like Jesus said in the story, then we exclude ourselves from the banquet. But this isn't just a dinner invitation. It's way more. It's an invitation to connect with God, to experience the goodness of our Heavenly Father. And so I'm just urging you, make a decision to follow Jesus. Say yes to Jesus' invitation. And when we say yes, then we make the commitment. First, to be all in with Jesus. And we make that commitment in a thing called baptism. And we're going to have that opportunity to experience baptism today. Maybe you're here and you've said yes at some point to following Jesus. Or maybe right now you're making that decision to follow Jesus. I want to encourage you to make that decision, the commitment, the promise to follow Jesus in baptism. It's our declaration. We declare Jesus is the Lord. He's the master of my life. I'm putting him in charge of my life. And I'm going to follow him. I'm going to leave my old ways, and I'm going to follow him. And maybe you've been actually following Jesus for a while. You have already said, yeah, I really do want to follow the way of Jesus, but we're never baptized. And maybe you've been doing that for a long, long time, and you think, nah, it feels really weird now because I've been following Jesus, but I've never been baptized, and it seems weird to do that now. It's never too late. Don't let that hold you back. Maybe you were baptized as a baby. Your parents had you baptized, and you appreciate their spirit in that, their heart in that. But now you've come to a place where you know what you need to do, and you want to make that commitment. And we have that opportunity today in baptism. Say, this is my decision. I'm making this decision for myself. Maybe you're ready for the very first time right now to say, I'm ready to follow Jesus. And then you can make that promise and that commitment in baptism. Don't hold back. Don't make any excuses. Say yes to Jesus' invitation. So in a moment, we're going to sing a song. It's called Behold. And as normal, when we sing, we stand. And as we're standing, I want you to come forward if you're ready to be baptized. Wherever you're at on our campus, come in here to our auditorium. And as you enter the auditorium, come to the door near the stage on your left as you come in. And folks will be there to help you. They'll answer any questions you have. And just know that we have everything you need. We have private changing rooms, clothes to be baptized in, towels. Even if you came not planning to be baptized today, everything's ready for you. All you have to do is say yes.